prudent behavior, doing what is right, just, and fair. You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is, what does the Bible say about being angry? Part 2. My text is Psalm 37:8, which states, cease from anger and forsake wrath, which is strong, vengeful anger. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Be ye angry and sin not. It is implied here, number one, that there may be anger without sin. And number two, that there is a special danger in all cases where there is anger, that it will be accompanied with sin. Anger is an excitement or agitation of mind, of more or less violence, produced by the reception of a real or supposed injury and attended commonly with a desire or purpose of revenge. The desire of revenge, however, is not essential to the existence of the passion, though it is probably always attended with a disposition to express displeasure, to quarrel, rebuke, or punish. To a great extent, the sudden excitement on the reception of an injury is involuntary and consequently innocent. Anger is sinful in the following instances or circumstances. Number one, that it is excited without any sufficient cause. We are in no danger and do not need it for protection. We should be safe without it. Number two, when it transcends the cause, and any cause, if any cause really exists. All that is beyond the necessity of immediate self-protection is apart from its design and is wrong. Number three, when it is against the person rather than the offense. The object is not to injure another. It is to protect ourselves. Number four, when it is attended with the desire of revenge, that is always wrong. When it is cherished and heightened by reflection. Number six, when there is an unforgiving spirit, a determination to exact the utmost satisfaction for the injury which has been done. Let not the sun go down. Do not cherish anger. Do not sleep upon it. Do not harbor a purpose of revenge. Do not cherish ill will against another. When the sun sets on a man's anger, he may be sure it is wrong. The meaning of the whole of this verse then is, if you be angry, which may be the case, and which may be unavoidable, see that the sudden excitement does not become sin. Do not let it overlap in its proper bounds. Do not cherish it. Do not let it remain in your bosom, even to the setting of the sun. Though the sun be sinking in the west, let not the passion linger in the bosom, but let his light last rays find you always peaceful and calm. Should circumstances arise to call for anger on your part, Let it be a crisis anger without sin. Psalms 103, 8 and 9 states, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always scold, neither will he keep his anger forever. The Lord is merciful and gracious. This is his way, which he made known unto Moses at Mount Horeb, which he thus proclaimed his name in answer to Moses' request. I beseech thee, show me thy way, that I may know thee. It is my way, says God, to pardon sin. He is not soon angry. He is slow to anger, not extreme to mock what we do imperfectly, not ready to take advantage against us. He bears long with those that are very provoking, defers punishing, that he may give space to repent, and does not speedily execute the sentence of his law. And he could not be thus slow to anger if he were not plenteous in mercy, the very father of mercies. He is not long angry, for he will not always scold, though we always offend and deserve scolding. Though he signify his displeasure against us for our sins by the rebuke of providence and the reproaches of our own consciences, and thus cause grief, yet he will have compassion and will not always keep us in pain and terror. No, not for our sins, but after the spirit of bondage will give the spirit of adoption. How unlike are those to God who always scold, who take every occasion to scold, and never know when to cease. What will become of us if God would deal so with us? He will not keep his anger forever against his own people, but will gather them with everlasting mercies. Three ways you can manage your anger are: one, ask the person to forgive you, or pray to God to forgive the person who give you peace and give you peace concerning the issue. Talk to a Christian relative or friend to get their opinion on the matter, and take your mind off of the problem by reading a book, watching television, or engaging in another activity. Let us remember that Jesus came to earth and lived, which gives us an example of how to live. He was crucified on the cross that our sins may be forgiven and we can have eternal life. He arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. So let us ask him for the strength to be angry, but sin not. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is overcoming worry. Chronic worry is a problem that we must address. Experts warn that you can worry yourself to an early grave. The Daily Telegraph reports that even low levels of anxiety can increase the risk of a fatal heart attack or stroke by up to a fifth. A recent APA poll shows that 62% of Americans are anxious about the possibility of family and loved ones getting the coronavirus. The stress and anxiety caused by this pandemic can and is having an effect on people's physical and mental health. Despite high levels of anxiety resulting from the coronavirus, most people reported that they have not yet felt significant behavioral impacts. Behavioral results showed that about 19% reported having trouble sleeping, 8% consumed more alcohol or other drugs, 12% reported increased fighting with a partner or loved one primarily because of being stuck at home together, and approximately 24% reported trouble concentrating on other things because they were focused on the coronavirus. What do you worry about most in life? Is it your health, your marriage, your children, your job, or your finances? Maybe you worry most about what other people think about you. Do you know why you worry? As children of God, we have no need to worry because we belong to a God who loves us, hears us, and is aware of our every need. We need to learn to accept the reality of His love for us so that our fears do not control us. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out fear. If you're afraid of facing a person or circumstance in your life, God's love can help you put your fears to rest. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Stop worrying long enough to hear God's voice, for He speaks softly to you in the depths of your being. Ask the Holy Spirit to quiet your mind so that you can think God's thoughts. This ability is an awesome benefit of being God's child. Do not be defeated by the noise of this world or that of your own thinking. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But perhaps you are worrying right now about something and you don't feel connected to God, or you don't feel like you have a close relationship with Him. You probably heard that Jesus came to save you from your sin, but you are not sure how that works. Well, if that's the case, I've got good news for you. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, He arose with all power in His hands so that you may have everlasting life. So when anxiety or worry calls your name, answer the call by praying, trusting God, and taking action to obey His word during these challenging times. Here's a prayer to help you overcome worry. Repeat after me, if you will. Calm me, Lord, as you calm the storm. Still me, Lord. Keep me from harm. Let all the uproar within me cease. Enfold me, Lord, in your perfect peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stay encouraged and keep looking up.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.
That we make, hoping the